Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Welcome back, folks. We have been talking a lot about what's going on with the U.S.-Iran-Israel conflict. It's very fluid. It's very fragile. A lot has happened today. There appears to be a ceasefire. It seems as though all three parties recognize same. But one of the factors that looms out there is if there is an economic impact or economic blowback as a result of the actions of the United States. And here joining us to talk about that is Andrew Lieber, Tulane political scientist. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So I would assume that you kind of agree with what the way I've characterized this at the present time. What are we seeing as it relates to any economic implications arising as a result of the actions of any of these three parties?
Yeah, thanks so much for asking. I mean, I guess the single number that people probably focus most on, at least in the United States, in the economic realm, is the price of oil. But sort of global oil markets, especially over the past decade, have started to effectively price in conflict in and around the Persian Gulf to the extent that it would seemingly take quite a lot to boost oil prices for a long time. So oil, at least in the United States, was trading at around $65 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate before Israel launched the tax on Iran. That got up to maybe around $74 over the weekend. But as of today's markets, they're right back down where they started at around $65 a barrel. So assuming and hoping that this ceasefire holds, we may not see really direct economic impacts of that sort.
Obviously, there was big concerns about disruption of oil flow for China and some of the other Asian countries that purchase a lot from both Iraq and Iran. Did we see any changes there?
Yeah, so we've certainly seen a dramatic drop in Iran's oil output by some measures, as much as 90% of its exports. And that's not surprising, given that many of the Israeli strikes on Iran targeted oil infrastructure. But actually, maybe some of your listeners don't know this, but a lot of the oil production, even from other countries in and around the Persian Gulf, so Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, a lot of that oil is also headed towards East Asia and especially China at this point in time. And certainly if we'd seen a truly dramatic action from Iran, like mining the Strait of Hormuz, which is the narrow bit of water at the end of the Persian Gulf, that could have impacted up to a quarter of the global oil supply and as much as a fifth of global natural gas trade. So that would, of course, have a truly massive impact on the global economy. If Iran unleashes large amounts of mines in there, the United States Navy does not maintain a particularly large minesweeper fleet, unfortunately, so it would potentially take some time to clear that waterway. But, of course, that would also box in the Iran's entire ability to export oil and the ability of Iraq, whose government is notionally aligned with Israel as well, to export that as well.
The Vice President J.D. Vance said it would be absolutely idiotic for that to actually happen. It would be, I guess, cutting off their nose to spite their face. You never know with this government, this theocracy in Iran. But it seems to make sense that if they had any hope of being able to support themselves in the near future, in the aftermath of this event, that wouldn't be the course that they would take, right?
Yeah, and that's sort of the thing with the Islamic Republic of Iran, in that obviously on the one hand, there's a clear ideological factor to how Supreme Leader Khamenei and others run the country, but there's also a fair amount of rational calculation as well. Their priority, like any political leaderships, is to stay in power, and that's part of why I think we saw the response we did over in sort of yesterday, in that you saw Iranian missiles launched at an American airbase in neighboring Qatar, but there was also a significant amount of calculation to that. They telegraphed that in advance to both the U.S. government and to the Qatari government to basically make it as easy as possible to shoot down those missiles. The choice of target is also relevant in that there are certainly other U.S. facilities in the region that could be attacked. The U.S. Fifth Fleet is based in Bahrain. Saudi Arabia's oil installations have been hit before by Iranian-aligned armed groups in 2019. But Iran's relations with those countries have only really improved in the past couple of years, whereas they've had a longer and sort of more collegial relationship with Qatar. Qatar likes to position itself as a sort of middleman in diplomacy in the region, so was willing to, in this case somewhat literally, take the hit in order to try and help broker some kind of an agreement to achieve the current ceasefire.
Obviously, there's going to be talk of sanctions, right? And I got to imagine that is something that Iran's not going to sit idly by. I mean, it's going to be difficult enough dealing with the centrifuges, the location of same, where all of this is going. But sanctions could really gut the nation in a different way and put the regime at risk. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, so I don't know the exact extent of U.S. sanctions on Iran at this point, but part of the challenge for U.S. policy right now is we've more or less cranked sanctions up to the max that we can on Iran without seeking to sort of shut down the entire economy. I mean, there's a certain extent to which we, at least U.S. policy, does not sort of seek to fully shut down Iran's economy. That would involve, for example, putting extraordinary pressure on the United Arab Emirates, which maintains a lot of trade with Iran. Doubtless, there's always some way to put even more pressure on the country. But I think, as you point out, one of the key remaining questions is sort of if there is to be any deal that goes beyond merely a ceasefire, such as the kind of diplomatic deal that President Trump has talked about for a while, that's going to have to involve some degree of inspection of Iran's continued nuclear program or some ability to verify that Iran is abiding by any agreements there. So first of all, just physically difficult to inspect some of these sites, given that they're now buried under some degree of rubble. But it'll also be challenging to get Iran to agree to renewed inspections sort of after this U.S. strike that occurred amid sort of President Trump's claims that he was more interested in diplomacy. Now, clearly, Iranian officials seem interested in at least some degree of diplomatic negotiations now, so that's certainly possible. You know, merely some kind of indication that the United States will lean on even Israel to maintain the terms of that ceasefire may be enough to induce Iran to come to the table and stay at the table in that regard. But in terms of economic pressure, it's not really clear that the United States can do a lot more than it already does.
We're visiting with Andrew Lieber, a Tulane political scientist, talking about economic implications of this U.S.-Iran-Israel conflict. In the aftermath of Iraq, when you said that it was these these complications and the uneasiness of the Middle East is kind of baked in to Wall Street. Is that lessons learned? And or is it more about capacity of all others in being able to backfill oil production?
Yeah, so I think there's been a real shift in maybe the past 20 years from, you know, the way that policymakers and sort of, you know, market makers, I guess, in the United States thought, you know, going back in the 20th century after the oil embargo of the 1970s, where I think there's just a baked in assumption now that any short term disruption in oil production will indeed be backfilled somewhere else. Or if, for example, Russia can no longer sell its oil to European countries, then it's going to sell it instead to China or India. And eventually that's going to make its way through the market and everything settles out again. There's also the fact, I mean, the United States is a major oil producer in a way that was not true 20 years ago. So I think that also affects U.S. policy discussions and U.S. decision making. I think it's driven, this has been a big policy conversation for maybe a decade now on the extent to which the United States still has the same degree of critical economic interest in the security of the Persian Gulf. And I think the fact that that's even an ongoing discussion reflects the fact that global oil markets just sort of aren't what they were back in, say, the 1990s.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Yeah, because, it's thankfully we don't have that that additional pressure on us as we're making our way through this at the present time. I mean, it's always nice to have one less issue to have to try to get your arms around, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think when I think about the economic implications of this conflict and this ongoing situation, I think it's probably going to factor much more in the longer term. So I think, for example, about countries on the other side of the Gulf from Iran, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates have some pretty dramatic economic plans. They want to oversee the major transformations of their economies. That was a major theme of President Trump's visit to Saudi Arabia and other countries in the region last month. But it's going to be hard to find foreign investors to sustain that kind of economic development, particularly if you're talking about fragile infrastructure like major data centers, if there's the looming threat of a shooting war hanging over the region.
Do you get a sense of the, or do you have a sense of the state of Israel's economy at the present time?
Yeah, sort of. That's a little bit outside of my area of expertise. I think that certainly in the immediate aftermath of October 7th and the war in Gaza, that the Israeli economy sort of certainly took a hit. And certainly the longer the conflict in Gaza goes on, in addition to the sort of pretty dramatic humanitarian costs at this point in time, there is a sort of a drag on the Israeli economy as well. You have a significant portion of the productive population of the country is either sort of called up or potentially called up to serve in the military. Certainly, you have the potential for brain drain from the country as Israelis with marketable skills opt to live sort of not in an active conflict zone. I don't know the extent to which that's happened, but similar challenges that Saudi Arabia and the UAE may face, and that it'll be challenging to get significant foreign investment into the country at a time when it seems like that sort of at any minute, you know, we're glad that the ceasefire has broken out now, has sort of been established now, but it's unclear as of yet how long that will hold.
Yeah, it's. I think you would agree the fragility. Who knows, you know, what lurks out there in the coming days. We were talking to Brandon Buck from Cato earlier. It seems as though this is going to be really centered around the ability of the president himself individually and kind of holding these parties together with the assistance of whether it be Qatar or someone else in the discussions with Iran.
Yeah, I would certainly agree to that. I mean, I think that in some of my own conversations over the past week, I've said that it's really hard to predict what's going to happen with this conflict, at least in terms of U.S. policy, because a lot is up to sort of President Trump's personal decisions on sort of a day-to-day basis. As we've seen, sort of what President and his team are telling the press, or, you know, like any with any politician, are not always what they're thinking or deciding behind the scenes. But his thinking does seem to be shaped kind of like on a week-to-week basis based on how he sees the situation, who he's talked to. Certainly, the impression after President Trump visited Saudi Arabia and other of the Gulf monarchies was that he was maybe deprioritizing Israel somewhat in terms of U.S. policy towards the Middle East and North Africa. That clearly shifted over the past couple weeks in terms of him deciding to join Israeli strikes on Iran. But, you know, has apparently now shifted back towards prioritizing a ceasefire. So I think in terms of seeing where U.S. policy will go towards the region, we're certainly plenty of individuals and, you know, plenty of organizations, Congress among them, will be trying to influence the president's thinking, but it'll all basically be up to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. Andrew Lieber, Tulane political scientist. Truly appreciate your time, your insight, and have a great week.
Thanks.
Thank you. That's Andrew Lieber, Tulane political scientist. Would love to hear from you. We're going to go to the talk lines. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Your thoughts about where we find ourselves in the Middle East at the present time. Your thoughts about how Donald Trump has handled this situation thus far. Do you think it was a mistake to take out the nuclear capabilities of Iran? Would love to hear from you. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.